Hello and welcome to the audio transcription of The Back Page,
the Talking Sports newspaper,
dated the 25th of September to the 1st of October 2019. Produced by Vista. Telephone 0116 249 8839. Items are selected, read and recorded by the Gartry Audio Services team. The team members this week are
Andrew,
Daniel,
Jeff,
Ian,
Lee,
Malcolm,
and Marcel.
Rugby World Cup 2019.
In Tokyo, Ford puts Eagles to flight in World Cup.
George Ford set England on the way to a bonus point victory over the USA in their second match at the Rugby World Cup in Japan. The Leicester Tigers fly half, who was named man of the match, scored his side's first try after just 6 minutes, as England brushed aside the Eagles 45-7 in Kobe. Dan Cole, who started at tight head prop, and scrum half Ben Youngs, who was a second half replacement, both won their 91st Test caps, while Tigers clubmate Ellis Genge also made an impact from the bench after the interval, as England ran in a total of 7 tries. The US line cracked early in the piece, with Ford racing through a large gap made possible when number 8 Billy Vunipola sucked in defenders with a muscular carry. England were playing at a high tempo despite the heat and humidity and were successfully stretching the defence, creating a chance for Joe Kokonasiga, who was well tackled by former Tigers favourite Blaine Scully. The kicking game, directed by skipper Ford and Willie Hines, was serving them well, but their discipline was far less precise after conceding 4 penalties inside 15 minutes. A driving line-out sent the USA hurtling backwards, so when England were awarded a penalty in front of the posts, Ford opted for touch instead of taking the points and was immediately rewarded. Once again, the Eagles were scattered at the set piece and Vunipola was at the bottom of the pile as the England pack crashed over. Just as their line-out was dismantled, England pulverised the underdog scrum and from the ensuing penalty, they launched another arrowing line-out that ended with hooker Luke Cowan-Dickie touching down to secure a 19-0 interval lead. Successive knock-ons by Joe Launchbury interrupted momentum as the second half was launched with a series of English attacks, but the bonus point arrived in the 47th minute when Jonathan Joseph performed an elaborate dummy to create the opportunity for Kokonasiga to drive over. The one-way traffic continued with Mark Wilson, who had replaced Vunipola at half-time, making an impact through a series of purposeful carries, and wing Rory McConachy was next across as the beneficiary of some quick hands. Ford's neat step then enabled Lewis Ludlam to cross. The first red card of the World Cup arrived in the 70th minute when US flanker John Quill was sent off for a shoulder-led tackle on replacement Owen Farrell. Having wasted another chance shortly before, Kokonasiga went over for his second try to complete the rout, but the US grabbed a late consolation score through replacement Bryce Campbell to go down 45-7.
City News.
Justin's the hero for both sets of fans as City ease through in the Cup.
Carabao Cup, third round. Luton Town 0, Leicester City 4.
James Justin enjoyed a fairy tale debut as Leicester City breezed into the fourth round of the Carabao Cup with a 4-0 win over Luton Town. Back at the club where he started his career, £6 million summer signing Justin slammed in City's second goal on what proved to be a comfortable evening for Brendan Rodgers' side. After a quiet opening half an hour, Damari Gray curled in the first goal, opening the floodgates. Justin grabbed the second before the break, with Yuri Tielemans' volley and Kelechi Iheanacho's chip sealing the win late in the second half. While Rodgers made only a few changes for the shootout win over Newcastle in the previous round, he fielded a rotated side at Kenilworth Road, one more typical of the Carabao Cup. Alongside Justin, Danny Ward was making his first appearance of the season in goal, while Wes Morgan, Dennis Pratt and Gray were handed rare starts. Luton had themselves made 10 changes, with championship survival their priority this term. But the Hatters showed a willingness to get forward in the first 5 minutes, and Justin's first touch in blue was a diving header to clear the City box. City then found their stride and the match settled into a pattern. Rodgers' side dominated possession just inside the Luton half, with the hosts occasionally breaking out on the counter. Chances were few and far between in the opening half an hour, though. Mark Albrighton tested James Shea from distance, the Luton keeper pushing a 20-yard effort around the post. And then Gray under Yossi Perez, the latter leading the line, just failed to poke home a teasing Tielemans cross. The rain started to fall, but the City chances dried up until the 34th minute. In a move clearly practiced at City's Beaver Drive training ground, Albrighton pinged a low cross into the box. Perez flicked it at the front post, and Gray turned it home beyond the despairing Shea. After breaking through, the City chances came thick and fast. Pret and Perez were both denied a first City goal, the former seeing his shot saved after a pinpoint cross from Albrighton. The latter frustrated by the offside flag after cheekily chipping over Shea. And just before the break, City had their second. Chellermans clipped in a cross and just in timed his run to perfection, the 21-year-old side-footing onto the roof of the net. Rather than express disappointment at their side falling two goals behind, the home fans applauded their former player and a chant of "James Justin, one of our own," broke out around the ground. City still had time for more chances before the half-time whistle, Perez seeing a poked effort blocked and Gray's firmly hit free kick well held by Shea. City was so comfortable that their centre-back started to get involved with attacks at the start of the second half. Johnny Evans provided a cross for Gray, who mishit his shot. Then Morgan almost got on the score sheet, playing a 1-2 with Wilfred Ndidi to break into the box, his toe poke parried away. City slowed the pace, and Luton crept forward, creating their one big chance. Substitute Izzy Brown fired low from 12 yards, but Ward stuck out his right leg to keep his sheet clean. After that scare, City finished with a flourish. Kelechi Iheanacho on for Perez and searching for a first competitive goal in 366 days, collected Justin's pass and sprinted through, tripping over as he bore down on the goal. He recovered, kept the ball alive, and Gray lobbed the ball to the back post for Chellermans to volley in the match-sealing third. Moments later, Iheanacho came close again, Shea blocking his shot from close range. But he was not to be denied a third time. Luton captain and former City defender Alan Sheehan was robbed of the ball by Albrighton and Iheanacho was played in, chipping the ball over the advancing Shea, who got a touch on the shot, but could not stop it rolling over the line. Luton thought they had scored a consolation in the final moments, but Kazenga Lualoa's close-range header was ruled out for offside, allowing City to walk away with a clean sheet, as well as their comfortable place, in the fourth round.
Ricardo starts the party as Rampant City tonk the tune.
Premier League.
Leicester City 5, Newcastle United 0. Leicester City produced a clinical performance to thump naive Newcastle 5-0 at the King Power Stadium and reclaim their third place in the Premier League table. Ricardo Pereira's brilliant solo effort started the party with a flurry of strikes early in the second half, two from Jamie Vardy and a Paul Dummett own goal, sealing the points before Wilfred Ndidi completed City's most comfortable league win in recent memory. Magpies midfielder Isaac Hayden had made life easier for Brendan Rodgers' side, earning a red card just before half-time for a reckless tackle on Dennis Pratt, just one of numerous mistakes made by the visitors. In the build-up to the match, Rodgers had called for patience from the City fans, expecting Newcastle to sit deep in a bid to frustrate the hosts, just as they had done in their last two visits to Leicester when they left with 3 points. But Toon manager Steve Bruce clearly did not want to take a leaf out of Rafa Benitez's manual, with Newcastle surprisingly starting on the front foot. Their fast start visibly startled City, who took 5 minutes to settle. Newcastle only created one moment of note, though. Miguel Almiron fooled Ben Chilwell. The ball was played inside to Hayden, whose scuff shot was nearly turned in by Yoshinori Muto, who could not quite sort his feet out. But Newcastle's openness eventually led to their downfall. After 15 minutes, Ricardo played a 1-2 with former Magpie Iosi Perez on the halfway line, and the Portuguese fullback was allowed to charge through the heart of the Newcastle side. When he got to the box, he curled a shot into the bottom corner with his left foot. From City's point of view, it was a huge boost to get an early goal. For Newcastle, it was incredibly naive. In the driving rain, the game then went quiet. Pratt, in for the injured Maddison, had a shot saved after bringing down Martin Dubravka's poor punch clear, but that was the only goal mouth action for a half-hour period. The game was sparked back into life just before half-time when an ugly challenge from Hayden, whose follow-through saw his studs connect with Pratt's shin. The Magpies midfielder,
protested, but referee Craig Pawson had no doubts. There was a sign of things to come when Harvey Barnes fired just over in first half injury time. A straightforward second half was expected, but City ran riot. Pratt's scooped ball was turned into Vardy's path by Barnes, and the striker caught out Dubravka, firing low on the angle to squeeze the ball under the Slovakian goalkeeper. Pratt was involved in the third too. He won the ball back, played a 1-2 with Ricardo, and then saw his cross deflected in by Paul Dummett, leaving Dubravka helpless. Vardy grabbed City's fourth, his second of the night, and his 14th in 17 league appearances under Rodgers, heading in substitute Mark Albrighton's inch-perfect cross. Every City shot was flying in, but they slowed down their rate of fire. City had 25 minutes to grab a fifth and seal the biggest top-flight win in more than 30 years, but they waited until the final minute of normal time. The game had slowed to a canter, but as City knocked the ball around a downbeat Newcastle side, Ben Chilwell chipped in a cross and Ndidi controlled, turned and finished like a striker. The goal put the icing on the cake and sent 30,000 supporters home with smiles on their faces and dreaming of another European tour.
County cricket.
County hit back after being skittled out by champions.
Tabletoppers Lancashire showed why they have already secured the Division 2 title, as they bowled out Leicestershire for just 155. On the first day of their Specsavers County Championship match at the Fisher County Ground. Seamer Richard Gleeson, arguably one of Lancashire's unsung heroes this season, picked up best figures of 6 for 43. The return means he now has 44 championship wickets in 9 matches played, at an average of less than 22. Only Graham Onions, rested for this game, has more, with 45 in 10 matches played. There were also 2 wickets for Matt Parkinson, including that of his twin brother Callum, to mark his call-up to the England squads for the Test and T20 series in New Zealand this winter. Having exercised the away team's prerogative to bowl first, Lancashire's reward was almost immediate, as Foxes captain, Paul Horton, one of several former Lancashire players now with Leicestershire, edged his first delivery from Gleeson straight to Keaton Jennings at first slip. Fellow opener Hassan Azad had made 9, passing 1,100 championship runs for the season in the process, before he pushed a low catch back to bowler Gleeson, and the former Northants seamer struck for the third time when Colin Ackerman edged low to Liam Livingston at second slip, reducing the Foxes to 16 for 3. Tom Bailey, in the 10th over of an impressive opening spell, picked up his first wicket when Mark Cosgrove tried to cut a wide but in-swinging delivery and succeeded only in edging the ball onto his stumps. Rhodes saw Leicestershire through to lunch without further loss, but was bowled by Gleeson in the first over after the interval. Harry Swindles lost his off-stump to the same bowler soon afterwards to reduce the Foxes to 82 for 6. Harry Dearden and Callum Parkinson added 36 for the 7th wicket, but Dearden, on 30, also went bowled, driving outside a delivery from Matt Parkinson that spun back to hit the stumps, and shortly before tea, Ben Mike was caught by Parkinson off the top edge at backward square off Livingston. Parkinson pinned his twin leg before, shortly after tea, before Gleeson bowled Dieter Klein to finish the innings. Leicestershire did hit back, Chris Wright bowling Keaton Jennings with an inswinger that took the inside edge of the bat and hit leg stump. Jennings was also out first ball in the single innings he played against Leicestershire at Aigburth earlier in the season. Bad light and rain then saw play end with 24 overs remaining to be bowled. Callum Parkinson said, "I was frustrated not to go on, and especially to get out to my brother. I didn't actually know he'd been selected for England, but the Lancashire lads mentioned it. I'm delighted for him. It's a reward for all the hard work he's put in, and for me it's motivation. I'll be in Australia this winter in Adelaide, so I might pop over and see him, as long as he pays for the flights. It was tricky first up, swung a bit, and Richard Gleeson in particular bowled really well. But we showed a bit of flight to drag the score up a bit, and then picked up a quick wicket."
Leicestershire, all out for 155. Lancashire, 2 for 1.
Foxes hit back against champs. Leicestershire's bowlers needed just 47.3 overs to bowl Lancashire out, after play finally got underway on the third day of the Specsavers County Championship match at the Fisher County Ground. Overnight rain on an already sodden pitch and no play at all had been possible on day 2, meant it was 2 p.m. before the umpires decided the ground was fit for play, with a possible 59 overs to be bowled. Lancashire had moved from their overnight score of 2-1 to 20-1 when Alex Davies edged a Dieter Klein delivery low to second slip, where Colin Ackerman held a neat low catch. Liam Livingstone had made 10 when a fine outswinger from Ben Mike found the edge and wicketkeeper Harry Swindles dived to his right to make the catch. Mike was finding more movements than any other bowler, and Rob Jones was clearly anticipating plenty of outswing when he left the delivery, which pitched on off and duly thumped into the top of the off stump. Josh Bohannon played well in going to 20, but was drawn into playing an airy dive at another Mike outswinger, succeeding only in edging a catch to Paul Horton at first slip. The champions were then reduced to 77-6 when captain Dane Villas also played a head-up drive at a delivery from Dieter Klein that swung back, beats the bats and hits the middle stump. Tom Bailey then chipped a straight delivery from right towards Maidan, and 12th man Aaron Lyley threw himself forward to get his hands under the ball just before it hit the ground. Liam Hurt on his first-class debut joined Stephen Croft in adding 60 for the 8th wicket before Croft drove at Klein and Leicestershire captain Horton took a fine catch, diving low to his right at first slip. The Foxes' left-arm spinner Callum Parkinson then took revenge on his twin brother Matt when he tapped him leg before wicket. Appropriately enough, the self-same dismissal inflicted by Matt on Callum in Leicestershire's first innings. Parkinson then ended Hurt's knock in exactly the same manner before Haunton and Hassan Azad put together an untroubled and unbroken partnership of 40 for the opening wicket when the Foxes began their second innings. Leicestershire all-rounder Mike said, "It was good to get a bit of rhythm, albeit a bit late in the season. I haven't played as much as I would have liked to this year, so it's been good to get out on the field in the last couple of games. You can't be too unhappy when you've bowled a topside out for 170 on a decent pitch. We all clicked, really. We bowled well in partnerships, which is encouraging."
Azad tops runs table as Foxes settle for a draw. Hassan Azad, with an unbeaten 83, finished as top scorer in Division 2 as the match between Leicestershire and Lancashire finished in a draw at the Fisher County Ground. Damp areas on the outfield meant play began an hour late, meaning the game had already lost 173 overs to the weather before Leicestershire resumed their second innings on their overnight score of 40-1, a lead of 25. The Foxes immediately lost captain Paul Horton, who had yet to add to his overnight 30 when he was comprehensively cleaned up by a Richard Gleeson delivery, which removed both of and middle stumps. With Azad playing an anchor role, Colin Ackerman came in and went for his shot, hitting 8 fours in going to 37 from 47 balls at the interval, but his dismissal for 49 and that of Mark Cosgrove for just 2 soon afterwards, both edging Gleeson behind the wicket, signalled the end of any likelihood of Leicestershire declaring and offering Lancashire a late run chase. Azad passed 50 for the 8th time this season and was closing in on what would have been his 400 and 1,200 runs for the championship season. He finished with 1,189 when the rain returned. Gleeson, who picked up 6 wickets in Leicestershire's first innings, finished with 9 wickets in the match and 47 in the season. Leicestershire head coach Paul Nixon said, "I'm delighted that Hass ended the season as he began it. Another couple of overs and he'd have had his century and been past 1,200 runs. We thought about declaring, but it was all about the weather. It was a good pitch and just too many overs had been lost."
Tigers news.
Battling defence and fine finishing helped Tigers to a bonus point win. Leicester Tigers opened their Premiership Cup account with a 27-7 win over the Exeter Chiefs at Walford Road. Tigers ran in 4 tries, but were pushed hard by a Chiefs side who dominated matters in terms of possession and territory. However, they were kept at bay by some strong Leicester defence and some sharp finishing from the home side. Tigers made almost the perfect start when they scored after just 3 minutes. Jordan Alofella made the initial break on the left and it was continued by Andy Forsyth before open side flanker Guy Thompson finished off the sizzling attack. Noel Reid was unable to add the conversion, and, within a couple of minutes, Leicester found themselves trailing as the Chiefs scored a trademark try. Reid was yellow carded for a high tackle, close to the line, and, from the resulting line-out, Exeter pummeled away at the Tigers' defence before number 8, Jacques Vermeulen, eventually scored under the posts, Harvey Skinner adding a simple conversion. Leicester had to withstand some further midfield pressure from the visitors, but they stood firm and were rewarded with a second score. Forsyth's kick earned Tigers a 5-metre scrum, and after bettering away at the visitors' defence, the ball was switched wide for Alofella to burst in. George Worth's conversion fell short. However, a third try was to follow, and Reid back on his binning was instrumental as his smart pass to Jonah Holmes saw the winger break through and attempted tackle to touchdown. Reid added the extras, and Tigers were 17-7 to the good. Tigers extended their advantage to 20-7 soon after the break, when the Chiefs were penalised 30 metres out and Reid slotted a straightforward penalty. However, there was little else for the home fans to get excited about through the middle stages of the second half, as Exeter enjoyed the bulk of possession and territory. Tigers were forced to defend for long periods. They did so securely, with Thompson winning a turnover inside his own 22 to end one spell of pressure around the hour mark. Exeter came back, but a missed kick at goal by Skinner was to be their final real opening. Tigers' scrum had for once come under pressure, but gradually they turned matters around, and back-to-back penalties heading into the final 10 minutes set up their fourth try. It was replacement Tom Hardwick who carved it out at 74 minutes, feeding Kyle Eastmond to crash over in the corner. Hardwick converted to seal the win. The Chiefs had one last throw of the dice, with a 5-metre line out as time expired. But Tigers repelled their drive at the line to bring the game to an end in far happier circumstances than their opener 6 days earlier at Worcester.
Basketball.
Back-to-back wins give Riders a flying start in BBL Cup.
BBL Cup North Group, Cheshire Phoenix 63, Riders 75.
Leicester Riders made it 2 wins from 2 on the opening weekend in the BBL Cup, with a 75-63 victory over the Cheshire Phoenix. Riders used a strong third quarter to pull away from their hosts and held off a late charge by the Phoenix. 6 unanswered points in the first quarter saw Leicester 13-7 ahead, but with their 3-point shooting off the mark, they were unable to pull away. After 13 misses from behind the arc, Joe Scott hit their first of the game in the second period, followed quickly by a second from Jonas Dietrich. While their defence was still strong, Riders couldn't quite find their offensive rhythm in the first half, although they still led 33-26 at the interval, thanks to an 8-2 finish. Riders came out of the interval in much better shape, Naaman Wright hitting threes to top and tail a 10-0 start to the half. Josh Ward-Hibbert then poured in 7 quick points to further extend Riders' lead, and within 5 minutes of the third quarter starting, they were 52-35 in front. Leicester continued to score freely, netting 30 points in the third quarter to build a 19-point lead by the end of the period. The lead peaked at 23 points, thanks to 5 Andy Thompson points, before Lewis Sayers bagged 3 three-pointers in quick succession to narrow the gap. With a minute to go, Riders' lead was down to 12, but they never looked in any real danger during the final 60 seconds. Ward-Hibbert again led the way with 16 points and 12 rebounds, with Wright matching him with 16 of his own.
3 victories out of 3 put Riders on a roll in the BBL Cup. They topped their group after toppling Giants. BBL Cup, North Group. Manchester Giants 57, Leicester Riders 96. Leicester Riders continued their unbeaten start to the season with a comfortable 96-57 win over Manchester Giants in the group stages of the BBL Cup. The result puts Riders on top of the Northern Group with 3 wins from 3. They broke the game open in the second period with a dominant 27-9 spell. Riders started out strongly with Jamal Anderson hitting an early 3-pointer, and with good work on the boards by Josh Ward-Hibbert, the visitors opened up an 8-2 lead after 4 minutes. That lead could have been stretched further, but in a venue that has caused more problems in the past, Riders managed just one of their first 12 three-point attempts. Giants eventually got on track with John Mulmore hitting 7 early points, but an and-one play by Ward-Hibbert helped Riders to a 17-11 first quarter lead. An early jump shot from Mammon Wright who had been misfiring in the first quarter, got riders rolling in the second period, and a three from Kyron Cartwright pushed his side's lead out to 24-13. Giants were struggling from long range as well, connecting on just one of their 16 three-point attempts in the first half, but they were finding a little more joy inside to keep the game close. They trailed 25-16 midway through the second period. Threes from Wright and Anderson and a breakaway by Ward Hibbert saw Riders open a commanding lead on their way to 44-20 halftime advantage. Ward Hibbert showed how his game is blossoming by contributing 14 points and 11 rebounds in the dominant first half. Giants started the second half with more intensity, Delvin Dickerson and Mulmore combining to cut into the Leicester lead. Anderson stopped the run with a jumper, Cartwright followed with a layup, and then a three to put Riders 55-31 clear. Ward Hibbert kept up his relentless pace, and another three-pointer by him ensured Riders were comfortable at the third quarter break, leading 63-41. Riders opened the fourth quarter with a 5-0 start, thanks to fine play from Anderson, and he then connected with consecutive threes as the lead moved past 30 points with 6 minutes to play. Ward Hibbert once again led the way with 20 points, 13 rebounds, while Anderson top scored with 21 points.
Angling.
Fast start earns Quilter the midweek spoils.
The end pegs on Canal were the place to be at last Wednesday's Lakeview Veterans match, with the top four weights coming from these areas. Martin Quilter on peg 28 began with silver fish, but a good head of barbel and carp soon moved in on his maggot feed. Despite a poor last hour, he took the match with 57 pounds, with barbel making up around 20 pounds of the total. At the other end of the lake, it was close between Dick Williams on 15 and Dick Hickman from peg 13, with Dirk edging a second place with 45 pounds and Paul in third with 40 pounds, both catching the bulk of their fish on maggot. The other section winner was Roger Holmes on peg 25 with 39 pounds, but weights then fell away with the back bank not producing again. It was back to river on stream on Saturday, where weights were on the decline. John Cook, fishing peg 15 on river, was the only one to beat the 50-pound mark when he fished Castor across to the island to win with 60 pounds. Alongside on peg 20, Roger Holmes could not keep pace, but he still took second with 49 pounds on pellet across, while Ralph Marshall was third with 34 pounds and Rob Taylor fourth with 26 pounds. Tom Hamilton claimed first on stream with 41 pounds taken from peg 13, where he fished pellet down the track. Cliff Adcock used the same tactics for second spot on peg 17 with 30 pounds, and third on the lake with 21 pounds was Chris Shaw.
Athletics.
Under 17 women take pride of place for Harborough at Sutton.
Sutton Park in Sutton Coldfield was the setting for the Midlands County's Autumn Road Relays, with Harborough AC fielding senior women's under 17s women's and senior men's teams. The senior women were out in significant force, with the club putting out three teams to compete against the best that the Midlands has to offer. Hannah Everly got the A team off to a flying start, putting them into 28th place after the first leg with a speedy sub-18 minutes, clocking over the scenic 4.3 kilometres. Yvonne Scarrett, Maria Shaw and Jackie Hanmer all rank strongly to bring the team home in 34th out of 121 teams, 107 complete teams. The B team of Lucy Jenkinson, Gemma Burnham, Helen Elizabeth and Amanda King combined for 54th, whilst Everly returned to run the final leg in the C team in support of Mel Brocklebank, Patsy Wilson and Louise McAllister. For the men, Jamie McAllister impressed on the final leg, picking up 8 places to bring the team home in 76th, 22.50 for 5.8 kilometres, after solid work from Tom Fortnum, Gary Hodgkins, David McLean, Graham Rolfe and Peter Attenborough on the first 5 legs. Pride of place on the day went to the under-17 women, who finished an impressive 10th. Beth Wallace led the foundations with 15th place on the opening leg. Lizzie Clapp moved the team up to 11th and 15.32 over the 3.8 kilometres, and Ailey McLean anchored them home, picking up a further place to overtake Bromsgrove and Redditch and leave them placed ahead of some much larger clubs and local rivals. A day later and 6 athletes were in action over longer distances at Rutland Water. Kev Burgess finished third in his age group, in the marathon, 3 hours 22 and 3 seconds, while Jules Chapman was third in hers over half the distance, and Tom Lister clocked 1 hour 32 to win his age group over 13.1 miles. Rich Hudson, Ian Barber and Catherine Searcy completed the team. Chairman Will Clapp said, "All runners can be proud of their achievement, in particular our under-17 women in their 10th place." There was an X-factor theme to the Welland Valley Triathlon Club races last weekend. Four members of the club raced for the new 2019 Outlaw X, celebrating 10 years of Outlaw Triathlon. The races followed at 1.2-mile swim in Thoresby Lake and then embarked on a spectacular 56-mile ride through the North Nottinghamshire countryside before completing their epic journey with a 13.1-mile run through 1,000 acres of unspoilt English countryside within the grounds of the historic Thoresby Park. Terry Nichols led home the Welland Valley crew in 5 hours and 17 minutes, ahead of Paul Goodyear, Mike Scott and Sue Henley. Ambleside in the North Lakes was host to the Half 10, billed as the world's toughest 70.3 half Ironman distance. The bike course alone included 6 mountain passes, all over 20% in gradient, topping off with Hard Knot Pass at 33%. The half marathon was over 3,500 feet of climbing to finish off this epic challenge. Taking on this ultimate test of endurance as their final race of the season were Mark Ashford, who finished in 9 hours 34 minutes, Graham Garrett and Nicky Garrett. Christian Kemp completed the Ironman 70.3 in Weymouth, which had the swim shortened to 950 metres due to the weather conditions, in 5 hours 31. Several club members were also racing at the local Sywell Sprint Triathlon based at Sywell Reservoir. Those competing were David Staff, Will Ambry, Edmund Creef, Paul O'Brien, George Chataway, Fiona Thompson, Lily Cantor, Kate Lee and Charlotte Schofield.
Bowls.
Holwell honour the 2019 winners. Holwell Sports Bowls Club got together to celebrate their top performers at their presentation evening on Friday. Chris Rogers was men's champion, with Peter Orridge the runner-up, while Sue Lemon edged out Glenys Marshall to the ladies' title. The men's two-wood was won by Brian Rippon from Phil Hardy, and Glenys Marshall lifted the ladies' two-wood trophy, with Viv James coming an honourable second. Ken Tween won the men's novice singles, pipping Brian James to the post on the day. And in a battle of the Vivs for the ladies' novice singles title, Viv James came out first against Viv Hopkinson. The new open singles was won by Byron James from runner-up Peter Orridge, while the men's pairs final was delayed until after presentation night when Bob Lemon and Jeff Ridkin edged Harold Cramp and Dennis Hopkinson on an extra end. The ladies' pairs found Sue Hall and Sue Lemon playing Bettine Broadbury and Viv James, with Sue and Sue winning a close game. The mixed pairs and Mr. and Mrs. competitions were again popular, with the pairs' spoils claimed by Reg Jackson and Glenys Marshall, with Cliff Thompson and Sue Lemon in second place. But Cliff and his wife Margaret went on to win the Mr. and Mrs. trophy against Phil and Angela Hardy. In the 20th year of the Alex Whittaker Trophy, 8 teams battled for the title, and the winning rink was Josie Redkin, Norma Jackson, Simon Hall and Dennis Pearson. Special awards were presented to the Players' Player of the Year, voted by club members, and Peter Orridge was his clubmate's choice in his first year with the club. The Francis Blythe Trophy, awarded to a lady member not on the committee, who goes that extra mile, went to a group, marking contribution to the club by Josie Redkin, Viv James, Viv Hopkinson, Margaret Thompson, Angela Hardy, Anne Spencer and Pauline Patterson. The club person of the year was awarded to Alan Tipper for his kindness and willingness to help in any capacity in the club throughout the year before the ladies presented gifts to the Monday Club, the team of greenkeepers led by Bob Lemon. All trophies were presented by club president Beryl Kurth. To find out more about Holwell Sports Bowls Club, call Secretary Sue Lemon on 01664 668 317 or email susan.lemon@virginmedia.com. Melton Port Pies were among the finalists for the National Fantastic Fives tournament held at Kempston Indoor Bowls Club in Bedford. They went into the day as two-time winners and scented a hat-trick. But a strong Wey Valley team from Guildford won the competition outright with a comfortable overall score of 22 points. Melton Port Pies were tied for second place with the Clary Dunbar team from Froome in Somerset after both scored 10 points. The team of Peter White, Tim Warriner, Mark Warrington, Erica Warrington, Susan Dixon, Izzy Pym and John Robinson from Melton Indoor Bowls Club competed well against the Clarys and eventually finished in third place following a tense shootout for the runners-up spot.
Cycling.
Newbury takes superb third behind her mentor. Leicester cyclist Morgan Newbury raced to a superb third place in the Yorkshire 2019 Paracycling International Road Race as she lined up against her mentor, Dame Sarah Story. Dame Sarah took victory in the 57-kilometre C5 category race from Tadcaster to Harrogate, but Newbury, riding for the Skoda UK Academy team, was more than happy with her spot on the podium. Newbury, who is currently studying nutrition at Sheffield Hallam University, is the first of the five female riders selected as the inaugural Academy members to compete in a professional-level competition. "I was very happy with how I finished today," said the 20-year-old. "It was a good little margin between myself and Dame Sarah, who came first, but it felt good on my first actual road race. Fantastic learning experience. It was a tough course, to be honest. Rolling hills the whole way. In future, I'll be sure to recce the course before a race, because I didn't really know about all the turns and when the hills were coming up. I'm thankful to the Skoda Cycling Academy, Barney Story and Dame Sarah for all the support they have given me to get up to this standard of racing. To be fair, I probably wouldn't have signed up for this race without the confidence that the Academy and Sarah have given me. It was all worth it, and I've had a good day." Newbury will now look towards some track action over the winter. She said, "We're coming towards the end of the road season now, but I'm looking forward to the exciting Thruxton Circuit event in October, and then I will be focusing on my first set of track races. I'm hoping to race one in Manchester at the end of November, and perhaps the BUCS Para event, which will once again be a new experience as I've never raced on track before." Morgan Newbury is a member of the Skoda Cycling Academy that was set up to help address the gender imbalance in cycling. For more information, visit www.skoda.co.uk/cycling. Meanwhile, round 10 of the Welland Valley Club Championship saw 17 riders tackle the hill climb course at Cranow near Market Harborough. Competitors made two ascents of the course, with the combined time deciding the finishing order. Austin Smith was quickest in 3 minutes 6 seconds, followed by Matt Plus in 3 minutes 15 seconds, and Simon Dixie in 3 minutes 29 seconds. Jill Postlethwaite was the fastest woman in 3 minutes 47 seconds.
Stamina-sapping bike ride raises £45,000 for cancer cause. Riders who pass through Melton taking part in a 4-day charity cycling event for Hope Against Cancer have raised over £45,000. 40 participants doing the 2,500 furlong cycle challenge pedalled their way through the town on the way back to Leicester after a 340-mile trip around the north of the country, visiting some of England's most famous racecourses, Doncaster, York and Market Rasen. The 2,500 furlong cycle challenge, named in keeping with the equestrian theme, is a biannual fundraiser organised by HOPE, Leicester's cancer research charity. The money raised through the challenge and the homecoming party will go towards funding research into the prevention and treatment of cancer, with each cyclist raising a minimum of £1,000 to support the cause. Food and drink sponsors for the event include both Melton's Morrison's Supermarket and Spice of India. To find out more about how to get involved in future HOPE fundraisers, visit
www.hopeagainstcancer.org.uk.
Golf.
19 teams tee off at golfing event. 19 teams battled it out again at the stunning Rutland Water Golf Course in Manton on August the 28th. Now in its fifth year, the ever-popular Golf Day has become an annual fixture and continues to help raise funds to support people living with long-term health conditions in Rutland and the surrounding community. The Golf Day is a fun and friendly competition, which is supported by individuals, as well as many local businesses, sponsoring the holes, such as Cavell's, James Selleck's Estate Agents, The Grain Store, William Herrick Limited, Efficient Portfolio, Thomas Wilson Architects, Rutland Plastics, MHR, The Melton Building Society, Mallard Jewellers, C.S. Ellis Group, Cream Hair and Beauty, Barnsdale Lodge Hotel, Go Finances, The George of Stamford, Eppingham Estates, and Gates Garden Centre, Palmers of Oakham were the main sponsors. Each player was given goodie bags to help them round the course, with mini pork pies kindly provided by Dickinson and Morris, water and Kit Kats provided by Hegarty Solicitors, and bananas from Tesco. The day ended with a prize giving by Adrian Palmer of the main sponsors, a raffle and a delicious two-course dinner for all the players and supporters. Trish Ruddle of For Rutland said, "We really enjoy organising golf for Rutland, as we see many of the same teams and whole sponsors returning each year, with huge enthusiasm and a great sense of humour. We are so fortunate to have such a supportive community that pull together to try and improve the lives of people in Rutland. This year's winning team was Jeremy Lord, Jerry Donaldson, Stephen Garner, Alex Stevens, with an incredible 91 points. Richard Hunnicutt, Paul Warrington, Rupert Fairfax and Alan Hind were closely behind on 90. Ladies closest to the pin, Christine McLaren and Viv Powell. Men's closest to the pin, Richard Hunnicutt and Charlie Redding. For Rutland, ensure that all proceeds from the golf competition are used to pay for their specialist advisors based at Citizens Advice Rutland, who provide free, confidential, non-medical advice and support to people of all ages living with long-term health conditions, such as cancer, dementia, strokes and mental illness, in Rutland and the surrounding community. They are able to help with practical problems associated with long-term conditions, such as access to NHS services, housing, debt, employment, and relationship issues. They ensure that clients are able to get the necessary funding at a time when they most need it. Since the launch of For Rutland in June 2014, over £4 million has been paid out to these clients in grants or benefit funding. Next year's Golf for Rutland will take place on Wednesday, September the 9th. For more information or to book a team, please email info@forrutland.org.uk or call 01572 724 400. For information on the For Rutland Specialist Advisors, contact Citizens Advice Rutland on 01572 723 494.
Local football.
Town continue mean streak to maintain 100% record. United Counties League Division 1, Melton Town 4, St Andrews 0. Melton Town maintained their 100% start to the United Counties League season with an impressive win against promotion rivals St Andrews. The Saints arrived at Sime Wright Park in second place in Division 1 and, like Melton, having beaten Premier League opponents in the Knockout Cup just 3 days earlier. Player manager Tom Manship reshaped his squad during the week, letting last season's leading scorer, Michael Reeve, go to Anstey Nomads and Robbie Parsons on loan to Stamford Town, while bringing in both Lathan Hammond and Levi Frey. The game started slowly, with both teams weighing up the other, and it took 15 minutes for the first attempt on goal when Manship dinked a pass over the defence, which put Kadeem Price clean through. Price lobbed the keeper with precision, only to be adjudged offside. The match continued to be even, with St Andrews resorting to a physical game and Melton patiently passing until an opening appeared. The deadlock was broken in spectacular fashion when Tom Rigby floated a throw in into the area to Price, whose great scissor kick found the net with some power. It was 2 in 2 minutes when Manship sent a free kick into the box for Zach Munton, who touched it on for Cameron Gilchrist to smash in from 3 yards out for his second goal in 2 games. The visitors almost halved the arrears when Mason Lopez went on a run, but his shot from the edge of the area found the safe hands of keeper Rob Peat. Munton had a shout for a penalty waved away when he received the ball in the 6-yard box, and a mad scramble ended with a tackle from behind on Melton's number 7, and the ball was cleared away. The game became tetchy, as St Andrews became frustrated by Melton's resolute defence. The final chance of the half came a minute before the break, when Nathan Arnold's looping shot from 30 yards out had Brown backpedalling to tip over the bar. Town started the second half with more purpose, but unable to make any real chances. Arnold found Munton, with a great pass from the middle of the park, but his shot hit the side netting. Price and Arnold combined on the hour, which ended with Arnold lob, which Brown tipped over the bar. The resulting corner found Price in acres of space, but again, his header was turned over. Marriott had a free kick well saved by Pete, and Tapper had a shot blocked well by Wilson. Kyle Reek should have made it three when Arnold's cross picked him out at the back post, but his cushioned header went inches wide. But within 15 minutes, Town had their third. Arnold, who was dominating midfield, played in Munton, whose run beat Chris Shaw, and as Brown came racing out to close the angle, he slotted past the keeper. Arnold had the ball in the net in spectacular fashion with a 25-yard shot, which hit the underside of the crossbar and went in, only to see it ruled out because of new FA rules for an accidental handball in the build-up to the goal. But eventually he got his much-deserved goal in stoppage time, working a corner with substitute Chris Hibbert, before dancing into the area and striking a shot past the keeper at his near post. Melton moved up to fifth with 4 wins from 4, and with games in hand on all of the sides above them, while their hard-working defence has yet to concede a goal in the league this season. Next up for Town is a visit to winless Whitsley Athletic on Saturday.
Melton move through the gears to come through Cup Test.
Leicester and Rutland FA, County Senior Cup, Round 1.
Thurnby Rangers 2, Melton Town 6. Melton Town began their bid to reach a second successive County Senior Cup final, began with a 6-2 win at Thurnby on Tuesday evening. Town were looking to go one better, following their penalty shootout defeat last April, but Thurnby had just come off a good win against Ashfordby and were looking to cause an upset. A frantic start saw the first chance fall to Rangers when Johnson hesitated coming out for a ball, but the Town keeper just got his foot to it. Melton were reduced to 2 half chances in the opening 10 minutes, a header from Tom Harris and Latham Hammond's long-distance shot. But the visitors broke the deadlock when slick passing in midfield ended with Zach Munton playing a 1-2 with Harris, who fired the ball into the bottom corner. Johnson made a great save from Thurnby's leading scorer, while Munton's deflected effort fell to Kadeem Price, whose curling shot brushed the post. Midway through the half, it was 2-0. Chris Hibbert meeting Nathan Arnold's corner and heading past beat the keeper. Thurnby immediately halved the arrears straight from a Melton attack. Having saved from Hammond, the keeper's clearance caused a mix-up between Rigby and Johnson, leaving the ball bouncing towards an open net, which the Rangers striker tapped in. But 2 minutes later, Melton restored their 2-goal lead. A counter-attack ended with Munton's turn and shot, which was well saved, but it deflected in off a defender. Rangers hit back almost immediately when Rigby was dispossessed and the ball was floated into the area and fell just inside the far post for 3-2. Right on the half-time, the hosts should have equalised when a deep cross to the back post found a striker unmarked, but he headed wide. The second half saw Melton go up a few gears, and it took just 2 minutes to show the golf in class. Nathan Benjamin's great ball down the line found Harris, who turned a defender and sent in a low cross for Munton to smash past the keeper. Harris then became the first 10-minute sin binning of the season for Melton, who opted to control the game until they were back up to full strength. 15 minutes from the end, the game was over as a contest. Munton rolled in Hammond, whose shot was palmed around the post, but from the resulting corner, Price glanced a header into the top corner. An injury to Hibbert saw sub Rob Peat go in goal to replace Johnson, who was pushed on as an outfield player. Melton's attacks were relentless and were rewarded with a 6th goal when Harris went on a mazy run down the wing. He cut into the box and beat 3 defenders before slotting past the keeper to cap a good performance.
United bounced back in style to silent bells.
Katie Cropper scored her first hat-trick as Leicester United women bounced back to beat Doncaster Rovers Bells at Melton on Sunday. Back at their Signright Park home, after back-to-back National Women's League defeats, United were looking to respond with a win and did so with a good, solid performance. The hosts started with the bit between their teeth, pressing Doncaster all over the pitch, and within 2 minutes, Courtney Cropper had hit the bar. Within minutes, Bartle forced a save as Leicester piled on the pressure, and it wasn't long before the deadlock was broken. Natalie Hurst was played in and brought down just outside the box to earn a free kick. Katie Cropper stepped up and smashed the set piece into the corner to give United the lead. Doncaster realised they were in for a tough afternoon as Leicester continued to demand the ball all over the pitch. The visitors did break through the Leicester lines, but goalkeeper Hannah was quickly out to save well with her feet. Leicester continued to create chances, but couldn't find the net, and 7 minutes from time, Doncaster equalised. Parity was short-lived, as Cropper claimed her second, straight from the restart. Clever play between the midfield three saw Fitzpatrick deliver the ball into the box for Cropper to finish. The game was back in Leicester's hands, and it was 3-1 before the break when Hurst spread play wide to Fitzpatrick, who marked a great debut by squeezing the ball into the net from a tight angle. Leicester knew Doncaster would come out fighting for the second half, but it took a while to get going, with Leicester off the pace. This allowed Doncaster to grab the deficit once more by grabbing their second. Leicester started to find their feet again, and numerous chances went begging. Robinson took the ball around the keeper, but saw her finish blocked on the line as Bells defended heroically. Fitzpatrick nearly added her second from a corner, but headed narrowly wide. Great link-up play from both Cropper sisters saw Katie complete her hat-trick and put the game to bed with 15 minutes left. Leicester was still creating chances, Hurst forcing a close-range save and Cocking going close to adding Leicester's fifth. Next up is Bedworth United Ladies at Melton Sports Village on Sunday, kick-off 2 p.m. The club welcome all support.
Local rugby.
Much needed first points for the Hornets as Lions shine in sunny Southend. A much improved performance saw Hinckley gain their first points in National League 2 North with a 23-17 win at home to Lactonians. Hornets welcomed back veteran performers Luke Coldman and Matt Fern, and both had significant influence, Coldman's throwing transforming the line-out from the abject display in previous weeks, and Fern providing a solid presence in the pack. There were still too many mistakes in evidence for the liking of the coaching team, but there was relief for Director of Rugby Scott Hamilton. He said, "We needed a win. We were bottom of the table without a point, and another loss would have left us in a messy situation. Fortunately, the lads delivered. We aren't getting carried away, though. There's still much to work on. We had a lot of ball, but only managed the four tries. The line-out and scrum both went well and probably won us the game, but against a more effective line-out defence, we may still have struggled. That said, we're happy with the win. Victory lifts the Hornets to third from bottom, and the hope is that they can now take a little confidence into their next game against early-season surprise package Hull, who are in fourth. Over in National League 2 South, tries from Devon Constant, Ed Sumter and Kaz Henderson helped Leicester Lions to a 12-19 victory over Westcliff in sunny Southend-on-Sea. Competitive rugby by both sides saw a well-balanced game, but Lions' ability allowed them to come away with a deserved win, which leaves them in 8th position in the league. Westcliff in 13th. Lions head coach Gareth Collins said, "It was good to get our first away win of the season. Westcliff gave us a tough game and little space to play with, but my players put a lot of effective and skillful effort into their game."
Lutterworth and Harborough are set for big derby clash. It's derby day in Midlands 1 East this weekend as Lutterworth and Markets Harborough do battle at Ashby Lane. The hosts go into the clash on the back of a 21-5 success over West Bridgford last Saturday, which was their second win of the season so far. For Harborough, however, the clash at their local rivals represents a chance to bounce back from their first defeat of the season after they were beaten 53-33 at home by Derby. Having opened the campaign with a 34-all draw with Towncestrians before following that up with a 40-22 win at Wellingborough, it has been a mixed start for the newly promoted Harborough. And coach Joe Hill insists his team must begin to realise that they belong at the higher level. "I think we are pleased with the points we have picked up so far. We have competed well. Hill said, but I think the one thing we have been guilty of is showing our opponents too much respect. The players wanted to be at a higher level, and now they are, and they know that they can compete. The relationship between Harborough and Lutterworth is, I think, pretty good. But we have to go into this weekend with intensity and aggression, especially from a defensive point of view. I think this could be a good spark for us to have a local derby and to try to get into the right mentality. In this league, we need to front up and bring the aggression from the start of matches and not just in spells. We need to bounce back from last weekend, and with that bit of added spice in a local derby, I think we are capable of doing it. The damage was done in the first half of Harborough's defeat to Derby, as they trailed 41-7 at the break. The second half was a big improvement as Harborough finally got their game going. Lawrence Joel, Finn Clark, Chris Bale, Kyle Merrigan, Mika Basra all went over for the hosts, but Derby saw things out to secure the victory after their first half showing.
Crossland injury a blow from positive weekend.
Melton Rugby Football Club First 15 eased into the second round of the Midlands Intermediate Cup without taking to the field after their opponents conceded the tie. Despite defeat on the opening league weekend at Market Bosworth, the Melton squad had been keen to get back on track with a trip to Coventry to take on Pinley, but the hosts cried off. Newly appointed captain Harvey Green and vice-captain Sam Dennison are both keen to make their mark and repair the faith shown by the club in their policy of using homegrown talent to further the ambitions of the youthful First 15 squad. Melton's Second 15 were in action on Saturday at home to Southall Rugby Football Club, and both teams used the afternoon to good effect, bringing on some first-team players to give them a run-around, along with some players making a comeback after time away from the club. Phil Kerr's side played well, especially in open play, and won a close contest 27-20. The club was delighted to see Simon Peters and Ben Warwick back in boots and hope they will soon be back in action again. But there was bad news too over the weekend, with the shoulder injury sustained in training by the outstanding Nick Crossland, and once more he looks set to miss a large chunk of the season. Club president Tony Middleton said, "It's a real blow to the player and the squad because of the total commitment, desire and enthusiasm he brings to Melton Mowbray Rugby Club, both on and off the field. We wish him a speedy recovery, but fear the injuries may take their toll on a fine rugby player." It's league duties once again for the Firsts this weekend, and their third successive away fixture at Vipers RFC. Coach Mike Halford will prepare his troops to expect an onslaught, but will be up for the battle and a share of the spoils from the Midlands 2 East South clash. All travelling support is welcome.
Speedway.
Lions duo take the silver in pairs final. Scott Nichols and Ryan Douglas came close to bringing further success to the Lions this season, only to be denied the gold medals in a thrilling final against Glasgow in the Championship Pairs at Somerset on Friday. The Lions duo sailed through the qualifying stage to finish third out of 11 clubs, with Douglas scoring 12 points and Nichols on 9. Glasgow topped the section with 25 points, followed by Birmingham on 22, and Sheffield just crept into the semi-finals after their pairing scored 20. The semi-final draw pitted the Lions against Birmingham, and in the All-Midlands clash, Douglas and Nichols packed the minor positions ahead of four-placed Tero Arneo to win the heat 5-4. Meanwhile, Glasgow came through their heat against Sheffield with ease to set up a race-off final against the Watling JCB Lions. Douglas made the best start, but he was soon overtaken by Glasgow's Craig Cook as they exited the fourth bend of the opening lap of the circuit. Behind them, Nichols passed Rasmus Jensen on the same piece of track as they came around for a second time, but the Dane was not to be outdone, and taking a high line around the outside, he regained third place. In a valiant effort to recover his position, the Lions captain took a wide line on the final bend, but Jensen had too much speed and crossed the finish line marginally ahead of Nichols. Lions team manager Stuart Dixon said, "It is a tough meeting to win as all 11 clubs are represented by their top two riders. However, we can be proud of second place. Scott and Ryan rode well together because in a pairs event, you have to be in tune with your partner.
That was evident in the semi-final when they allowed Adam Ellis to win the race and they concentrated on team riding to keep Arneo at the back. Due to the unusual scoring for this meeting to encourage team riding, Ellis gained 4 points for winning the race, but we picked up 5 points for finishing second and third, so it made perfect sense tactically for Scott and Ryan to concentrate on protecting their positions in the race to ensure they reach the final.
Special Lions roared into the history books.
50 years ago this week, the Leicester Lions set a new British Speedway record as the first club side to go through the entire season without having to make one change to their team.
September the 30th, 1969, began like any other Tuesday in the Speedway season for Lions fans, who were looking forward to attending that night's British League fixture against Midlands rivals Wolverhampton at Blackbird Road. It had been a good year for the club, as the team were about to finish fifth in a 19-strong league and were through to a successive Midland Cup final, where they were set to meet arch-rivals the Coventry Bees the following month. The Wolves, meanwhile, could not wait for the season to end. They were languishing down near the bottom of the league table and were struggling on without Norman Hunter, who had been injured in a long track accident at an event at Prestatyn, North Wales. That night, Leicester crushed the visitors by 58 points to 20, with Ray Wilson, John Boulger and Graham Plant all unbeaten by an opponent. It was only the 12th time in the club's history that three Leicester riders had scored maximums, or paid maximums, in the same meeting. The result surpassed the previous best score of 56-22, set in 1962, against Bradford, and it created a new all-time club record for a league match staged over 13 heats. Nevertheless, such feats of excellence most possibly went unnoticed by the casual observer that autumn evening. However, on conclusion of the match against Wolves, the seven Leicester riders that night had unknowingly created a new record that even surpassed anything that had gone on before in the history of British Speedway, or indeed has never been equalled since. In 36 British League fixtures, the same seven Leicester riders went through the whole of the season without missing a meeting and, including two cup matches against Newport and Swindon, it created a unique record that still stands to this day. Alan Jones, Leicester's club historian and press officer, said, "Unfortunately, the importance of having set such an incredible record escaped everyone's immediate attention, and, contrary to public belief, there is no inclusion of the feat in the Guinness Book of World Records, which has recently been confirmed to me by the publisher. That said, let's not lose sight of the fact that it happened, and whilst we cannot be sure that it stands as a world record in Speedway, we are certain, through research, that no other British club has matched it in 85 seasons of league competition." But King's Lynn came mighty close, and by coincidence, it happened during the same year in 1969, when they made just one change, with Jeff Pennicott dropping out after the first league match to be replaced by Peter Bradshaw. The Lions team that year included Ray Wilson, who led the line as captain with a massive total of 406 points, and not far behind him was John Boulger, who upped his average from the previous year by over 2 points. There was improvement from Aspordby-based Graham Plant, who, after doubling up the year before between 2nd Division Middlesbrough and Leicester, took just 6 matches to climb out of the reserve position and into the main body of the Lions team. Malcolm Brown grew into one of the most popular riders to wear the club's colours and would often chip in with a heat win when least expected to. John Hart came mighty close to repeating the heat leader form he displayed in his days at Cradley Heath in Sheffield. Hart gave sterling support to Wilson and Boulger at home, and he was very much the key person in their victories at Newport and Newcastle. Norman Storer began the season at reserve, but inside a month he had worked his way into the team and had 2 spells when he was handed the number 3 Heat Leaders Race jacket. Records indicate that 1969 turned out to be Norman's best ever season at Blackbird Road. The last member of the side was the little-known American, Dewayne Keeter. He was the first to tread the path that later led to a rich seam of fellow countrymen venturing over to ride into the British League. His inclusion was something of a risk, as he had just recovered from multiple injuries, and on the shale he had only been riding for 6 months. Apart from that, he spent nearly a third of the season on the Leicester track spare bike, while his own machinery was in transit from Australia to the UK. Nevertheless, he was like lightning out of the starts and only failed to score points on 5 occasions. Keeter was an undoubted success, and it took him just 10 league matches before he collected his first paid maximum. After making his last appearance against Wolverhampton, DeWayne was on his way back home to the USA, never to return to these shores again. Sadly, 6 years later, he tragically lost his life in a track crash at Ascot Park in California.
Special Team.
Pictured with this article are the Leicester Lions in 1969, with Norman Storer, Malcolm Brown, DeWayne Keeter, Ron Wilson, who was the team manager, John Boulger, John Hart and Graham Plant. Seated on a Speedway bike is Lions captain Ray Wilson.
Table tennis.
Thrashings handed out as new season begins. The first two results of the new season in Division 1 of the Leicester and District League were both 10-0 thrashings. Holwell Sports saw off Syston Casuals when all nine singles were won in three straight. Mark Green, Martin Brunning and Adam Fairgreave, all in tip-top form, and this was the first ever result to be featured on the new Table Tennis England result system. The second result with the same outcome came when Knighton Park's first team welcomed A.W. Wolvey back into the fold, with KP's Chris Rogers, Jack Rogers and Reza Kiani doing the damage. Wolvey were previously in the league a couple of years ago, until just as the season was about to start a year ago, their most prominent player, Aidan Walsh, was killed in a road accident. The team immediately pulled out. A spot came available for them to rejoin in the top division at the 11th hour, just before the new season began, and, having prefixed their team, AW, after their previous star player, instead of Ajax, they snapped the league's hand off. But it may be tougher this time around. The performance of the week came in the match between the two electricity teams, who were locked at 5-5 when the generator shut down. The second team were 5-2 ahead after seven sets before the first team rallied to win the last three.
Tennis.
Jesse Seals' hat-trick of Hamilton singles titles. Defending champion Jessie Jackson claimed her third straight singles title as Hamilton Tennis Club's championships continued. Jessie was on top form to win the final despite a valiant effort by Emily Harrison. The other main events have all reached the final stages after some tight tussles along the way. The finalists in the men's doubles will be Andy Douglas and Joe Jackson against Mike Crane and Jimmy Cox. The mixed doubles saw defending champions Joe Jackson and Emily go through to the final to face Kieran Boylan and Jessie Jackson, while the ladies' final will pit Emily Harrison and Margaret against the family pairing of Jan and Jessie Jackson. The competition for places in the men's singles final was very close, with Andy Douglas going through unbeaten. Kieran Boylan claimed the other place, after a count back on wins and games against last year's champion Jimmy Cox, who has made a late run into form following a long injury layoff. The Veterans Championships served up some nail-biting victories. Steve Thompson and Mark Ashman clinched their spot in the men's doubles final by beating Edwin Shufflebotham and Selwyn Carter. The other semi-final went to a tiebreak, where Graham Brown and Barry Farnsworth saw off last season's champions Doug Hacking and Jeremy Siddle. The final was even closer as Stephen Mark saved two match points on the way to a winning tie break against Graham and Barry. The ladies' doubles produced some equally tense matches. Defending champions Margaret Heggs and Polly Dolby defeated Leslie Greaves and Cindy Coulter in the first semi-final, while Rosie Gildove and Margaret Rosgill had a very tough match to ease past Jan Jackson and Margaret Shufflebotham. In the final, Rosie and Margaret built up an early lead against Margaret and Polly, but could not hold on, and were ultimately pleased to take the match to a tie break. Some very long, close rallies ensued, and the match was eventually decided on a sudden death point, which Margaret and Polly won with an excellent serve on the final point. On the league scene, one of the few remaining Summer League matches saw Hamilton's mixed fourth team of Graham Hall and Eileen Merrison, Steve Plaistow and Leslie Greaves, and Jan Jackson with Edwin Shufflebotham travel to David Lloyd Thirds. They returned home to Melton on the end of a 9-0 defeat against the division's top team. Steve and Leslie narrowly missed out on a consolation set after losing a tie break.
Tug of war.
Champs reel in medal treble. Our tug of war champions were at it again as they powered their way to a full set of medals at the European Championships in Ireland. The Scalford-based Lincoln Tug of War Club began by winning bronze in the 680 kilo open club class before becoming the 720-kilo champions the following day. The squad, coached by Scolford villager Tim Lee, then finished a gruelling championship schedule by representing England at the 680 kilos in the international tournament, reaching the final and claiming the silver. They have swept all before them at national level for many years and continued their success against the European elite. "We knew we were on form and hoped for a top four spot," said Tim. "The 680 Open was a very tough competition and we had to qualify from a group of 11 for the semi-finals, so we were pleased to win bronze. I had already entered us for the 720, but didn't decide until the night before that we would compete, and that was the one we won." They qualified to represent the country at 680 after winning the national title in June and went on to fly the flag at the British and Irish Championships in Northern Ireland. There they continued their dominance of the weight category by winning gold for the fifth year running. Despite having decamped their training base to the Melton Village almost a decade ago, the club retains their Lincoln name, which is renowned in the sport's global circles. The club was formed almost 60 years ago from within Lincoln's Irish community, and its current squad are dispersed right across the Midlands. Tim's son Will, who also lives in Scolford, is the exception, with the rest facing a commitment testing commute to the village twice a week for late evening training, some from as far afield as Bedfordshire and Derbyshire. They come straight from work and train up until 10 o'clock and don't get home until 11 or 11:30 at night, Tim added. But despite the club's proud heritage, they also have been catchweight champions at the AAA Championships for the last 6 years. Their pullers are entirely self-funded. Little money comes into the minority sport, even at national level. "We desperately need sponsors," explained Tim. "In the 30 years I've been involved, if we have had £1,000, that is all we've had. Between 14 lads in the club, it costs us £30,000 a year. We went to South Africa last year to compete at the Worlds and had to find the flights and accommodation, and just going to Ireland this year costs £1,000 a man. Boots cost £150 a time and there's £200 a year each for kit. You are really relying on hard-working lads putting their money in all of the time for the love of the sport. When you are at the top, you have to keep going. While the search for cash goes on, at least a new home has been secured as they move from their long-time Ironstone Lane home over to a new base between Scolford and Wickham. It's a big season for us," added Tim. "We start in the middle of January and go right up until September, and now we are moving our training ground. Penny and Dave,
Clemens,
have been brilliant and have done such a lot for us and didn't particularly want to see us move, but we came to an agreement." If you can help sponsor the club, call Tim on
0774 734 674
or email
leemattim@aol.com.
Water sports.
Paracanoeist Wiggs aims to make history in Tokyo. Emma Wiggs is reigning Paralympic world and European champion, but the paracanoeist admits she is still always searching for her next success. Wiggs, who won gold at the 2016 Paralympic Games in Rio, stormed to a world record victory in the VL2 200-meter event to claim her 8th Paracanoe Sprint World Championship gold medal in Hungary in August. Her latest triumph came after a year in which she considered quitting the sport following a career-threatening right wrist injury. And the 39-year-old, who hails from the village of Dysworth, isn't ready to call time on her medal count just yet. Despite her setbacks, Wiggs believes she is closer than ever to doing the unthinkable at Tokyo 2020. "I feel really confident that next year I can go to Tokyo and become a history maker," said Wiggs. "I want to do something that no one has done before and win 2 medals in paracanoe at a Paralympic Games. That's the ultimate goal." We are in a really fortunate position as a team. We are dominating the world, having topped the medal table at the World Championships. I'm convinced that we will pick up lots of medals and personal best performances for Great Britain in 2020. All I ever think about is delivering a performance that I know will be good enough to allow me to win. 8 world golds, 2 silvers and 1 Paralympic medal representing Great Britain is a remarkable feat for any para-athlete, let alone for someone who only started their sport in 2013. Sainsbury's is the longest-standing supporter of Paralympics GB and a champion of inclusive sport for all. Sainsbury's commitment to helping customers live well for less has been at the heart of what we do since 1869. For more information on Sainsbury's commitment to inclusive sport, visit
www.about.sainsburys.co.uk.
The hard work pays off for the swimming masters.
Market Harborough Swimming Club members competed in the Leicestershire County Masters Swimming Championships at Braunston Leisure Centre. Most of the swimmers were competing for the first time and had proved that the hard work they had put in over the summer months had paid off. Lisa Trussler took on 2 of the toughest events on the programme, taking first place in the 200 metres fly and 400 metres individual medley in the 25 and 29 years age group. In the 40 to 44 years age group, Susie Northover showed great determination in her first Masters outing when completing the 50 metres backstroke and 50 metres freestyle, both in personal best times. In the ever-popular 45 to 49 years age group, Bex Johnson took silver in the 50 metres breaststroke and bronze in the 100 metre individual medley. Helen Fletcher sealed a personal best time in all 3 of her events and claimed bronze in the 100 metre breaststroke. In the same age group, Nicola James took bronze medals in the 50 metre fly and 100 metre freestyle. Jane Barney completed the ladies' side of the squad and produced some amazing swims, taking silvers in the 200 metres individual medley and 100 metre breaststroke, bronze in the 50 metre freestyle, and gold medals in the 100 metre freestyle and 100 metres individual medley. 4 of her swims placed her first Leicestershire swimmer. Dave Strachan, one of the organisers of the event, also competed in the 65 to 69 age group and took a silver medal in the 50 metres backstroke. He also took a top 6 place in the 50 metres and 100 metres freestyle. The day ended in style with Barney, Johnson, Trussler and James taking on 4 other teams in the 160-plus ladies freestyle relay, claiming second place in an exciting race.
You have now reached the end of the audio transcription of the back page. If you'd like to contact the Sound Services Department of Vista, please telephone 0116 249 8839 and leave a message on the answering machine. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.